I am probably not fit to preach today. I'll just give you a warning. I do not have it together at all. And so you pray for me that I can just be God's voice. And it has to do with the sermon topic, obviously. It's been a long time since I have been this conflicted in regards to, I guess, my spiritual my spiritual condition. So I was debating either not preaching or else then preaching something else. But I decided to invite you on a journey with me. And hopefully that's okay, because I do not have this together at all in my life. I thought maybe I should wait to preach till I have it figured out, until I'm more at peace with this subject. But I take it that God wants me to share this, and so I'll do that under His guidance and inspiration. So welcome to this part of the service, and may God receive the honor and the glory that is due to His name. Thank you, Gabriel, for that Sunday school. What had to happen to Joseph before his calling was realized and fulfilled? So he had the call when he was young. He had the dreams. He had the word from the Lord, and he had the coat of many colors. And God was calling him to a specific purpose. But what had to happen between that time and the time when he actually initiated deliverance for God's people or survival for God's people? What had to happen to him? Pardon me?
Learning and suffering.
Yes, he had to be crushed. And so, if God has given you or me a calling, if He has called us to a specific work, we have the word of the Lord, we feel the call, rest assured, first, you and I have to be crushed. We have to be crushed into nothing. I can imagine that Joseph spent time, we don't read this, but he was a human like you and I. He had feelings. He probably struggled. At night, when he lay down to sleep, he probably wept. He probably cried. He probably wondered, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Didn't you call me to be this chief and this king and all of that? And he laid there not understanding what was going on. And he was, I have very little doubt, he was crying and weeping before God. He believed in God. I have little doubt of that. He was taught from his youth about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he would lie there wondering what was going on. Why am I going through what I'm going through? But we now have the opportunity to look back over history, over Joseph's life, and it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? But when we're in the middle of our crushing experience, being ground into nothingness, we don't understand. And so we cry and we ask God why and all of these things. And He's, I know what's best for you. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing when I order the events and circumstances of your life. So all we need to do is say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And try to find rest there. That Sunday school was a great foundation for this sermon, in that the people did not know who Joseph really was. Joseph probably didn't know who he really was. But God knew. God knew who he was preparing for what he wanted to do in the future, and that's all that mattered. And so our place as humans is to say, yes, Lord, whenever He takes us through the difficulties that we are sure to go through if we're going to be useful in God's kingdom. So this sermon came to me some time ago, probably, not sure, a few weeks ago. And been thinking about it. It was going pretty good, I thought, till last evening. It was a few years ago that we were given a book at Myrtle Beach when we were with Stutzman's, and the book laid there by my chair for, I don't know, it's at least 2 years, maybe more than that. And I wanted to read it sometime. And then when I was preparing for this, I thought, what'd be a good time to read that book? Because the title of the book is called Overcoats and T-Shirts. And in small print, Who Am I Really? And so I started reading the book, and it just, I said, I cannot preach this sermon. But yes, Lord. So I read the whole book, speed read a good bit of it, but it was so moving. And I know that some of you are probably on the same journey. So I invite you to walk with me on that journey to find out who I really am. Now that may sound like it's a self, it's about a self-focus, but in all reality, we have to know who we are in Christ in order for God to realize the workmanship that He wants to create in us. And so we have to look at who we really are. And Paul, in many of his writings, tells us who we really are. And when he laid there on the Damascus, on the road to Damascus, he saw who he was. And it completely changed his life. So God still wants to do that today with you and I. He wants you and I to meet with Jesus, and that will completely change who we are. And so, if you're a Christian and you're serious about your walk with God, step number one is to find a connection with the heart of Jesus. And when that connection is missing, we reach out to other things for our identity. We reach out to intellectualism. We reach out into ultra-biblicism. We reach out into many, many things because we're looking for that. We're looking for that thing that's just out of our reach. And I've walked that path a long time. And I'm still on that journey. And I trust that at some point, God will have mercy on me. So I know it's messy, and I'm pretty messed up, but we all are, aren't we? The closer you get to God, the more you see how messed up we are. It always happens that way. Humans that come in the presence of the Almighty God will always fall on their face in brokenness and repentance, and so we should expect that. Oh, yes, wow. Lord, help me. We all live out of our identity. Every one of you is living a life the way you live it because you have an identity, whether it's a false or a true identity, doesn't matter. And God wants to change our identity into oneness with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said, for me to live is Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's what it's all about. Our identification process begins at birth. We are born, a baby is born. A baby was born to my wife and I. We identified him as ours. He became identified. He started carrying an identity. There's many, many factors that influence the identity of that child. It's a very interesting study, if you want to even just study the psychology of identity of individuals. It's very fascinating how that we live out of our identity. And there's many things that work to create that identity. And a lot of it we can't help because we're placed in an environment that brings dynamics into our lives that creates who we are. So we have that, and sometimes things go wrong in our lives as humans. And maybe I have been put into a home or you've been put into a home where it wasn't healthy. And maybe your father said, you're just dumb and you'll never amount to anything. That creates an impact on us as people. And we can actually start living out of that identity. And the writer of the book that I was referring to was giving his story and how that worked in his life. He was born into a home. His dad was a carpenter. His dad wanted him to become a carpenter, and he was not a carpenter. He spent most of his time figuring out the how and the why, and he would never get anything done. And his dad told him, you're just dumb. And so he went to school as Mr. Dumb Dumb. And he said, he started believing that he's just dumb. And he lived up to that. He lived in that t-shirt for a long time. It's a very interesting story. And I want to reread the book because I know I missed a lot of things, but it just spoke so much to me how that we live our lives out of possibly a false identity. And how that when we meet Jesus, he changes that identity. And so my sermon for today is in hopes that I could inspire you to look at your life in honesty and think about who I really am. Who am I really? How many of you are grappling with that? You can be honest if you want to. You don't have to. But do you know who you really are? Or are you asking those questions? Who am I really? Why am I here? What is life all about? Those answers are found when you meet with Jesus. Galatians chapter 6. I think I'll just go through it, read the whole chapter at this time. Let's look first, before we read the chapter, at I'm looking at Galatians 5. Galatians 6, verse 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. Don't let anybody criticize me, for I bear in my body the marks of who? The Lord Jesus. That's who Paul was. After he was crushed and broken, he carried the marks of the Lord Jesus in his body. And I believe he was referring to his physical body. Verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. One of the marks of a Christian is compassion, bearing other people's burdens. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, another mark, he deceiveth himself. It's a negative mark. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall what? Reap of the flesh corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you in my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Lord, the Israel, mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Unto the Galatians written from Rome. So I went to Goodwill yesterday and I bought a shirt. I want someone of the children to tell me what's wrong with this shirt. In case you're wondering what that says.